Stay tuned.
You are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 Bradenton. The views, comments, and opinions that come from our interviews, shows, air personalities, and from our calling guests are uncensored, and those views and opinions can be widespread and extremely diverse. These opinions or views do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of WSLR, Fogartyville, our staff, or volunteers. Get up, stand up.
Stand up for your right. Hello, Suncoast. Welcome back to another episode of The Ruthless Truth. We have a very fun episode today, but first, let's get into our true updates. Recently, our friends at the Pinellas DSA with the Party for Socialism and Liberation and the National Network on Cuba recently raised over $1,900 this year to send hydration kits and structures to Cuba. NNOC is the coalition of 70-plus orgs working to lift the blockade, take Cuba off of Trump's state sponsors of terrorism list, and end the war on Cuba. Elon Musk became a trillionaire this past week when SpaceX went public on the stock market. The scale of human suffering in the wealthiest era in history is not an accident. It is a choice. As 2.2 billion people on our planet don't have access to clean drinking water, 300 million worldwide are homeless. Hunger, preventable disease, and illiteracy persist not because we lack the resources to solve them, but because those resources have been concentrated in fewer and fewer hands, while public institutions built to address them are systemically dismantled. When a single individual accumulates wealth so vast that they can shape the policy of the government, it is the quintessential example as to why capitalism is a failure. The world's wealthiest person, whose excessive wealth was not earned, but seized through owning a publicly traded company built on public roads, public subsidies, and with public labor. Elon Musk has spent the last several years cultivating a political persona as a populist truth teller. This man has demonized immigrants, trans people, and Palestinians across his platform, flooding millions of people with dehumanizing rhetoric, and it was all a grift. The real goal was access and impunity. After spending hundreds of millions of dollars to help elect Donald Trump, Musk was handed the keys to the federal government through the so-called Department of Government Efficiency, an unofficial body with no congressional mandate, no transparency, and no accountability. What followed was not efficient. It was demolition. DOGE terminated $900 million in contracts at the Department of Education, gutting the Institute of Education Sciences, the federal government's primary research arm on student learning. PBS and NPR had their federal funding rescinded, part of $9.4 billion in previous passed bipartisan legislation that Congress voted to cancel, wiping out public broadcasting in an era of already billionaire-controlled news network. So let Elon Musk becoming a trillionaire be your trillionth reason to join the movement for a socialist future, not the ultra-rich. How is it that someone is allowed to hoard $1 trillion in personal wealth while the conditions for hundreds of millions of people around the world worsen every day? Because the capitalist system prioritizes accumulating wealth for a small handful of already wealthy individuals and corporations, not the needs of the people and the planet. We have no time to waste. The time to get organized is. And now I'd like to read a resolution in loving memory of Andrew Joseph Jr. This past weekend, there was a community celebration of life and legacy for Andrew Joseph Jr. in Tampa, Florida. Mr. Joseph was a loving husband, proud father, mentor, coach, community leader, and friend whose generosity, wisdom, and strength touched countless lives. And following the tragic death of his son, Andrew Joseph III, Mr. Joseph dedicated his life to the pursuit of justice, refusing to allow his son's story to be forgotten, and standing firm in the face of adversity, and guided by his belief in being boots on the ground. Mr. Joseph transformed grief into action, becoming a tireless advocate for accountability, dignity, and the rights of working and oppressed people. And he organized with impacted families across the country, uplifted the voices of those harmed by police violence and systemic injustice, and helped build a movement dedicated to truth, remembrance, and liberation. Andrew understood that the struggle for justice extends beyond any one individual, and he worked to ensure families seeking answers and accountability would never have to stand alone. And through his courage, compassion, and unwavering commitment to the people, he embodied the spirit of collective struggle and inspired countless others to continue the fight for a more just and humane society. His love, compassion, steadfastness, and determination will continue to live on through his family, his community, and every person he inspired to stand up, speak out, and fight for a better world. May he rest in power. All right, and with this, it's time to get into our episode. Today, we have a very exciting guest on, Dr. Sharon Jefferson. She is a school board candidate, an educator of 22 years, and a community leader. Also the mind behind Recess Education, Inc., and one of the key organizers of the 2026 Manatee Juneteenth Community Festival.
Yes.
Dr. Jefferson, I'm so happy to have you on today.
Well, thank you for having me. And I just want to let you all know that I'm really looking forward to retirement. And so it's actually been 27 years. Racing to 30.
Extremely impressive.
Yes.
Absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're here to talk about, you know, Juneteenth. It's coming up in a couple days from when this episode airs. So we're all very excited. And it's really time that we really start discussing it on a deeper level. So,
yes,
people really know that Juneteenth celebrates the true end of slavery, when enslaved people in Texas specifically were told about the Emancipation Proclamation. But what are some aspects of Juneteenth that people might not be familiar with?
Well, people may not understand why we commemorate Juneteenth every year. And so we do this because that very next year in 1866, formerly enslaved people came back together again to celebrate the very first Juneteenth festival, you know, filled with the parades and the music and the food and just all the celebration. And even going further back, after enslavement was over, formerly enslaved people sought out to reach out and find loved ones that they had been separated from. And so we theme our Juneteenth celebration as a family reunion to symbolize us coming back together again, to remember, to reflect, to celebrate.
Beautiful. I love that. Mm-hmm. Now, we have seen this change in the attitude some people have towards Juneteenth. Well, it's always been a celebration. Sometimes it becomes more corporate, more of like just a party rather than something revelatory. Why are community-based events, real community-based events, so important?
Because we want to make sure that we avoid Juneteenth becoming a corporate celebration. And as you may be aware, it almost happened as soon as it became a national holiday. And so ensuring that we have the community-based events in the neighborhoods. I believe every neighborhood, every community should have a Juneteenth celebration. Would keep us, you know, connected to the true intentions behind celebrating Juneteenth and not it becoming so corporate. You know, as a teacher, when I ask some of my students, what is you know, what is July the 4th? What is that all about? Some of them respond, well, it's a time where, you know, we go to the beach and we eat hot dogs. And so they're not really even understanding the significance behind the 4th of July. And they're looking at it's the fireworks. Well, what are we really teaching them about these celebrations? And we definitely do not want Juneteenth to fall into that situation to where our children and future generations only look at it as a party, eating barbecue. We want them to understand the true meaning behind Juneteenth. So keeping it non-corporate and community-based, neighborhood-based, we feel that we can be able to do that. We have many different organizations that come together to share resources such as you all of these resources and information. We're going to have voter education in addition to all the food and the music, because it's important for us to be able to be educated and informed about support resources that will be able to help us be even more free.
Absolutely. I love that answer. And that's why the PSL always tries to make sure we, you know, attend events like yours. We're excited. We'll be there again this year. So for our listeners who want to come out and see us, please come. We'll be there. Say hi. And I did want to get into how we're living in a time where, yes, Juneteenth is being dismissed and attacked by this current administration. Mm-hmm. But the very thing that Juneteenth celebrates is under attack as well, and that is voting rights and liberation for Black people. Mm-hmm. How are our rights being attacked at the state and local level right now in Florida?
Well, we are seeing, obviously, a couple of years ago, we saw the how they wanted to pretty much control how Black history is being taught, to kind of minimize it, or as we say, whitewash it. We see where there's legislation that attempts to affect our undocumented students. I'm talking as a teacher. You know, we see where there's legislation that's been proposed to basically keep people from voting, to discourage voting and participation. And so when we come together for Juneteenth, we're fighting against all of that. We want everybody to know that this is the space, this is the time to celebrate. You know, so the movement, Juneteenth, and June 19th, 1865, was not the end. It was the beginning. And so the movement continues to ensure that everyone is free, that we continue to fight for everyone's freedom.
And especially now with specifically the redistricting attempts that they're trying to do, Florida is already a very gerrymandered state. You know, Black districts are already for, you know, years, very constrained. So to take that away, they're basically trying to silence the Black voice completely.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is definitely unfortunate. And so we want to continue to educate the community around those situations as well. But regardless of them redistricting, one of the things that we want to try to emphasize is that the way to combat that is to get out and vote. So our votes have not been taken away. We need to definitely get out there and vote despite the effects of the gerrymandering.
Absolutely. And you did mention the attacks on education. Really definitely want to get into this one with your background as an educator. The way that specifically in schools and libraries, the way that they are trying to take away Black history. Mm. Why is that the attack? Why are they trying to censor Black history? Like, why is it important, even more important, that young people really learn about that history? What power does it have?
Well, I'm going to say this. And as a teacher who focuses on literacy, I want to make sure that I basically front load this information. We got to first get our kids interested in reading. All right. Because what is really happening is it's the adults who obviously know that history, all history is important, and feel that threat. But our children, because of the fact that, you know, they may not even be engaged in reading, they don't feel that effect. Okay, so I'll just be honest. In some of our school libraries, children are not going to check out the books. We don't have a lot of kids doing that. So I don't want to put the cart before the horse. As a literacy advocate, I want to be able to emphasize first, let's get the kids excited about reading. But for your, to answer your question as best I can, I believe that any kind of movement that wants to oppress or suppress what people read, it's about control. It's about being able to promote a particular narrative. But I think it's definitely important for all children to know about their history so that they can become empowered and they can see themselves in the American story and how they can continue to contribute to its success.
Absolutely. I think it's so important for young people to know the power of Black history because, you know, Black people fought for their rights. You know, mm-hmm. It wasn't just handed on from above. So I think a big reason why they want to censor that history is because they don't want people to fight anymore. They don't want us to have a generation of fighters.
Mm-hmm. And if we believe that, then we need to fight. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you can't roll over and just like, oh, they don't want to say it. Doesn't matter what they want. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is what we want, is what our ancestors have fought for. But we never want to give them any kind of victory over our futures.
Absolutely, yeah. They've won nothing. It just reinforces our goals.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Something I actually learned very recently was the symbolism behind the Juneteenth flag. And mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about that history.
Okay, and I'm actually going to read it right here from my book, okay? It's called Tyra is Excited About Juneteenth. So I wrote this book a couple of years ago to provide a resource that tells about the history of Juneteenth in a kid-friendly way. And so the flag was created in 1977 by an activist by the name of Ben Haith, and he was the founder of the National Juneteenth Celebration Foundation. So the flag colors, as you see, are red, white, and blue. So, and they were deliberately chosen by Haith to demonstrate that even throughout enslavement, African Americans were always Americans. So you have the curved surface on the flag. You'll see that little curved surface on the flag. So that represents a new horizon and possibility for African Americans. The star demonstrates that Black people are free in all 50 states, and the star also represents Texas, which is obviously, as we know, known as the Lone Star State. The star is surrounded by a burst, which represents new opportunities that lie ahead for Black people. African American history is American history, and the flag reminds us of just that. And then you'll also see the date on any Juneteenth flag that was added in 2004. So no one will ever forget what this flag stood for.
Thank you so much for the demonstration with the visual component. That was lovely. I definitely think that should be more encouraged because I only recently found out like all the deeper meanings behind that. So I think a lot of people would benefit. Now, I just want to reiterate why it's so important that people come out to community-based events like yours on Juneteenth.
Connections is just a very powerful thing. I love it. That's one of the things I really enjoy doing is organizing these community events to come together in these spaces so that we can share. You know, the more and more we do connect, we're going to learn more about each other, help to increase our tolerance of people who are different from us and have different ideas, because we're going to be able to do that through connections and through conversations. And when we're together, we'll end up also being able to see how we're more alike than we are different. And so I think it's just it's a powerful process when we also come together, you know, the excitement, the joy. I love to see so many different people from all walks of life come out to Juneteenth. I love it to see that they're not afraid. They're not looking at Juneteenth. Oh, that's just an African-American holiday and we don't belong. We see everyone coming out. And that's one thing that we really love. And that's one of our missions, because we have to remember that it took more than just Black people or African-American people to fight for emancipation. There were many people from different backgrounds, religious, race, genders, colors that fought for emancipation, which is why we are all here today. And we just have to remember that it's going to take all of us to continue that.
Absolutely. I love that message of solidarity between mm-hmm. different groups of people in a time when, you know, things can feel very divided. You know, mm-hmm. freedom for one is freedom for all. Our victory should be celebrated together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you'll see flags all over the place celebrating 240 years of independence. Well, this year we are celebrating 161 years of emancipation. And so I want everyone to remember that July the 4th just freed the land, but June 19th, 1865 freed all the people.
So what are ways our listeners can get involved to support your work other than attending Juneteenth events? How can they go further if they feel compelled to?
Come on out to Juneteenth and shake my hand and let's talk about it. Or visit our website at recessedu.org. But definitely just come on out and connect and let's have a conversation, see what we're all about, and find out what ways that we can connect and make a difference. We do have another event that's actually taking place on Emancipation Day, June 19th. And this will be over at the Gamble Mansion. That event is called the Unnamed but Unforgotten. And so we're going to go back to a place where we had at least 100 enslaved people living in Manatee County at the Gamble Plantation. And we'll have the speaker, Ms. Bibbins, who is a descendant of a family that lived there. So she'll talk a little bit about genealogy and her research. But we'll only be there for about an hour just to pay homage to the individuals that lived there that were enslaved. And it's called Unnamed but Unforgotten because, as you all may realize, the census, 1850 census, did not list enslaved people by name. They only listed them by their gender and their age. And so we want to make sure that we mark June 19th that day with giving them the thoughts due to their existence.
That's super interesting. I remember I used to pass by, you know, back when it was Gamble Plantation, every single day on the school bus. And I remember they would have events there that were very lighthearted. And I would talk to people like, this was a plantation. As a kid, like, this was a plantation, right? And they wouldn't want to address the history of it. So that's really wonderful.
What are you doing here? And I've taken a tour several times. And even then, you don't get a lot of information about the history of slavery during that time. So they mostly focus on the architecture and, you know, the way the Gambles lived and their mansion, but not about those people who lived there, toiled there, you know, and whose names we don't know. And so we're not going to forget about them, you know, so we're going to honor. So we felt like it was very fitting for us to celebrate Emancipation Day, June 19th, to go out to Gamble Mansion and just give honor to those. And we're going to have bubbles for any children that you all want to bring and let the kids blow bubbles to signify a new generation of free people, descendants, because of the sacrifice made by our ancestors.
Wonderful. I'm actually so thrilled to hear that, because that's something I did go on one of the tours as a kid, and I was asking questions. I felt like they were getting annoyed with all my questions. So it's so great to see people bringing that perspective to something that's so close to home. I grew up in Bradenton.
Well, y'all just follow us on Facebook, Rosalind Walton Education and Enrichment Services Incorporated. So it's Recess for short, so that you can learn a little bit more about what we're doing. You know, we are a literacy-based organization that focuses on all children learning to read, have the opportunities to enhance their learning. We have done tutoring. This past Friday, we took some students over to Moat Marine Aquarium. So we're in the business of bridging gaps, making sure that under-resourced communities are served, and just have the opportunities to grow and with educational opportunities.
That is our show. But thank you so much for coming on, Dr. Jefferson.
Thank you for having me. And I hope I'm looking forward to seeing you all on Friday. Oh, Saturday. Yes. Friday and Saturday. So see us Friday, and we'll be at Gamble from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock a.m. So just 1 hour, come out and pay homage.
All right. That was a wonderful episode. But now it is time to get into our next in neighborhood. We need your help. Yes, you, to spread the word far and wide that People's Pride Night is coming up on June 26th. From 6 to 10 p.m. at Allendale Church in St. Pete. There will be an outreach session, postering, and flyering in downtown St. Pete on June 19th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. And if you've never done outreach before, you're a little nervous about talking to people and handing them flyers, don't worry. I'll be there, and I will be giving a lesson on how to do outreach, a little tutorial, if you will. And by the end of it, you will be able to do outreach with the best of them. So if it's your first time, I actually would say that this is one of the easiest ways to start doing outreach, because you're promoting an event that people are going to be very receptive to and excited and grateful that you told them about it. So it's very easy, very fun. So come on down and let's go flyering. Also, come hang out with your friends and comrades at the Manatee Juneteenth Community Festival, Saturday, June 20th from 1 to 3, held at 13th Avenue Dream Center, located at 922 24th Street East, Bradenton. The event is free and open to the public. Enjoy the arts, crafts, games, food trucks, and visit various vendors. And have a happy Juneteenth. And with that is our show. So don't forget to get up, stand up, and don't give up the fight.
Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's a cord that Peter stole.
Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
sinking every one guy my way. No, my love's all shattered till I heard him say, be safe, take heed the blessed promise and become a child of mine. When I enter the gates of heaven, I'm gonna shine, shine, shine. I'm gonna shine,
I'm gonna shine,
more than
my morning.
Any mansion will be mine.